many, many years ago, even before I was conscious of what was happening, my mother took me to an apostolic Pentecostal church. And needless to say, that was the best thing she ever did for me. And I really appreciate that more than words can say. And based on the information I have received from home, it's quite likely that when I get home, I'll not see my mother alive. But a couple of years ago, she said to me, "Sam, if I go on before you, I want you to preach my funeral." And if she goes on before me, I'll endeavor to do that. But I have some very precious memories of her, and the fact that she took me to a Pentecostal church where I was able to hear the gospel and then accept the gospel, receive the transformation that comes as a consequence of accepting that gospel, and then to just live for the Lord. I have no regrets whatever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 26. Beginning at verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when a few infidels and agnostics saw it, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, they had great displeasure, had anger in it. They were stirred up, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" They didn't even ask, "Is it a waste?" That would have been better. But they're declaring themselves, "It's a waste. And to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much." One gospel writer made mention of 300 pence. "This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, not when he heard it, when he understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work." Underline that word "good." "She has wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. God bless you. You may be seated. In the Bible, there are several incidents that speak to a certain tendency in respect of the timing of crises, timing of difficult situations, the timing of adversities. It was after Elijah's victory on Mount Carmel that he had to face one of the biggest crises of his life. Jezebel had vowed to kill him, and when Elijah heard, he got discouraged to the point where he left where he was and traveled many, many miles and sat underneath a tree and said, among other things, "It is enough. O Lord, you may as well take my life." It was after that victory on Mount Carmel. Jonah fell into self-pity after the greatest revival that ever swept a city. Joseph went through one of the biggest crises of his life after he was promoted by Mr. Potiphar. Bathsheba crossed the gaze of David at a time when he had not known defeat personally, politically, or militarily. And young people, when you leave this camp and go home, mark my words, you are going to encounter difficult situations, crises. But I want to let you know that what the Lord has poured into you during this week will help you through any difficult situation, any crisis, any adversity. Amen. So don't worry. Just expect these things, and when they come, stand up and fight. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, I want us to focus on this text tonight just for a short time. And maybe during the message, I'll probably say to you what title could be put upon this message. Maybe at the end. But let's not worry about that. Let's look at the text. Mary, unannounced, comes into the presence of the Lord, and she takes an alabaster box of not just precious ointment, but very precious ointment, and poured it on the head of Jesus as he sat at meat. What she did was misunderstood and misjudged, not by infidels, not by agnostics, not by people who had any justification whatever to be hostile to Jesus. But what she did was misjudged, misunderstood by the disciples. People who had walked with Jesus, people who had talked to him, people who had seen the demonstration of his mighty power, people who not only saw the demonstration of his mighty power, but benefited from the demonstration of his mighty power. These are the people who misunderstood and misjudged what this woman did. It points up just how much care we must exercise the more we walk with God. It demonstrates how careful we ought to be as we go through our thought process and as we try to formulate words to express our thoughts. We've got to exercise a great sense of care, because sometimes when we think we're so right, we're so wrong. If it were not for the intervention of Jesus, this woman did would at best be remembered as a scandal, and at worst would have been smashed into oblivion if it were not for the intervention of Jesus. But Jesus, the Bible said, when he understood it, he said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work." Everybody say, good work. She hath wrought a good work upon me. Now that word good literally means beautiful. And what Jesus was saying was, don't bother her. What she has done is beautiful. You say it's a waste. I say it's beautiful. And so here's my message. A waste? Oh no. Beautiful. A waste? Oh no. Beautiful. A waste? No. I say, Jesus says, beautiful. Young people, what you have done all week long is not a waste. The times that you have stood here and lifted your hands with tears running down your cheeks and saying, hallelujah, that's not a waste, that's beautiful. The words that you have heard all week long, which have touched you, and you have responded, that's not a waste, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Not a waste. Beautiful. Not a waste. Beautiful. Not a waste. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh boy, I feel good on the last night here.
Woo-hoo. Coleridge, that great literary genius, observed that whenever you come across a passage in which the word is unusually beautiful, you may conclude that the thought beneath the words is also beautiful. He said, a beautiful thought produces beautiful words. By extension, therefore, we could say that behind beautiful actions are beautiful motives. This brings me, therefore, to the question, what was in Mary's mind? What moved her? What motivated her? What caused her to put away her money week after week, month after month, until she had saved 1 year's salary and used it and bought this alabaster box of precious ointment? What moved her? Preachers, she did not do that for the records. It was not because she wanted to make the headlines. Something deep within her heart moved her. And when it moved her, it produced this, which Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, this that she has done must be spoken of as a memorial of her. I don't have a long time, so I'm going to advance two things that moved her. Number one, there was a desire in Mary to express her estimate of Jesus. Something within her wanted to be released in a manner that would really convey just how much she thought of Jesus. And may I ask you tonight, how much do you think of him? Who is he anyway? Is he just another man? Is he just another teacher? I want to let you know, he was not just another man. He was not just another teacher, but he was the Lord of glory. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the ending. He is the first and he is the last. He is the one which is, the one which was, the one which is to come, the Almighty. not second person in anybody's Trinity. He is the Lord of glory. He is the one who in the beginning said, let there be light, and there was light. He made everything that was ever made. He is the Son of righteousness, who hath arisen with healing in his wings. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the great high priest. He is the strong tower. He is the refuge and strength. Prophet Isaiah writes, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You do not know what that means to us, but let me tell you what it means to us. His name shall be called Wonderful. That takes care of the dullness of life. Life would be pretty dull if it had not been for Jesus. But because his name shall be called Wonderful, that takes care of the dullness of life. His name shall be called Counselor. That takes care of the decisions of life. You have a decision to make? He's the Counselor. He's the Counselor. He'll help you. His name shall be called the Mighty God. That takes care of the demands of life. When you go home and you meet problems and afflictions and trials and testings and disappointments, hey, you want to know his name shall be called the Mighty God. That takes care of the demands of life. Oh Lord, his name shall be called the Everlasting Father. That takes care of the dimensions of life. Friend, there's no way you can go to get him out of your system, really. Anywhere you go, he's there. Everlasting Father, whatever the complexities of life may be, wherever life takes you, he's there. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. That takes care of the disturbances of life. Bye. And you wonder why we make so much noise. You wonder why we run the aisle. You wonder why. Do you really wonder why? Do you really wonder why we make so much of him? It's because we understand a little bit of his words. He means more than all the world to me. The dearest friend that I have ever known. Eternity will not be long enough to tell him thanks for all that he has done. And tonight in this message on this last night of camp, I want to encourage you to develop in your mind a graphic picture of his worth, because it's from that picture that you're going to do what you need to do in a world that's hostile to him, but really desperately needing him. Jesus. Leonardo da Vinci, great painter, One of his masterpieces was The Last Supper. The Last Supper has been called the most perfect composition in the history of painting in all ages. Leonardo da Vinci painted this picture on the wall of the convent. And he did an excellent job. The cup that he painted as it was in the hand of Jesus was perfect. It gave the image of an ornate golden vessel richly set with jewels. When Leonardo da Vinci was through with the painting, he called a few friends in to look at the painting. As they came in, one of the guests was heard by Leonardo da Vinci to say, "What a wonderful cup! How it sparkles!" And this artistic genius took his paintbrush and splashed some dark colors over the cup and remarked, "It is not the cup that I want you to see, but I want you to see the glory of Jesus Christ." Oh God. Young people, nobody appreciates any more than I do the talents that are displayed as these instruments are played. But may I say to you, do not allow these instruments and what you put into them to take precedence over the glory of Jesus Christ. We lift him up. We adore him. We say, "All hail his majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ." I do not want them to see the cup. I want them to see the glory of Christ. "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever." And so if he shines through you, your world will be a better place. If he shines through you, you will be a better person. If his life touches yours and mine, we will get the job done. But until that time, we are just like men with axe heads which are not sharp. I come to the second reason why this woman was moved to do what she did. There was a desire to express how much she owed him. You know, we have psyched ourselves into thinking sometimes that we're doing a good job. So the labels we put on things are incorrect, but they null us into a state of paralysis. We tag sacrifice over what we give. We give sometimes so little, but we call it a sacrifice. We talk sometimes about our greatness until we convince ourselves. But I submit to you that when we begin to accurately speak of greatness, there's only one person who can come on this platform, and that's Jesus. Only Jesus. I don't mind telling you that if it had not been for the Lord, I would not be standing here. I don't mind telling you that if the family in which I was born was that which had to be considered for my salvation, I would never have been saved. If the place where I was born would have been considered as a part of the qualification for me to be saved, chances are I would never have been saved. But friend, those things had nothing to do with it. Do you know what made my salvation possible? Let me tell you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. And when you and I understand the worth of Jesus, and when we can graphically comprehend the debt that we owe, it's only then and then only will our service to God be what it ought to be. Until that time, it's a wishy-washy, up today, down tomorrow syndrome. Putting labels on things to cause us to go to sleep. But when we see him in all of his resplendent glory and beauty, you talk about precious ointment, we will burst our alabaster boxes of ointment. And we won't just pour a little, but we'll pour it out on him so that the aroma will fill the room, so that Jesus will be glorified, lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Mary's estimate of Jesus was immeasurable. And so was the source or the sense of what she had received from him. Consequently, she resorted to a form of expression which to some people appeared to be extravagant, a waste. A waste? No. Beautiful. Choir, if anybody tells you that what you did up here tonight was a waste, back off and say, no, beautiful. If anybody suggests to you that serving Jesus is a waste, back off and say, no, it's beautiful. If anybody tells you that because you have been excited and enthused about your worship, that's a waste, tell them, no, I know who Jesus is. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the great I Am, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's my healer. He's my Savior. He's my friend. He's my Lord. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He is everything to me. This scripture intrigues me. Up to now, I cannot understand how the disciples could have made that mistake. Preachers, seems to me that this is a lesson for us. Because it's quite possible that we can be so near to the Messiah that we really don't see him like we ought to. And every painter knows the value of stepping back from the easel so you can begin to see things in perspective. And if because of your proximity you do not see him like you used to see him, step back. Step back and look at him from a distance. See the nail scarred hands, the nail pierced feet. See the marks left by the crown of thorns. Hear his voice. Look at his gentleness. Look at his display of servanthood. And then lift your hands and say, Lord, let thy blood cleanse me and make me what I ought to be. If you cannot see him because you're so issue-oriented, step back and look at him again. If you find yourself having difficulty to submit to authority, step back and look at him. He, in his humanity, did those things that please him. Finally tonight, in Matthew 26, you want to recognize that while Mary was giving her very best, Judas was giving his very worst. And side by side, in the same chapter, on the same street, in the same organization, in the same assembly, while some are giving their very best, some others are giving their very worst. But I challenge you on the closing night of Camp 1993, let's give Jesus our best. Our best in worship, our best in praise, our best in service, our best in giving. Let's give him our best. A waste? No. A waste? No. 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 Oh no, disciples, you have it all wrong. You have it all wrong. That's not a waste. Beautiful. 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 Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, oh Jesus, for all your blessings. I thank you for having come to my level. Because I could not have walked to your level. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your word. And Lord, on behalf of all of us here today, we want to let you know that we propose to give our best. Is expanded in a manner consistent with biblical pattern. And as we are able to put our finger on the extent of the debt that we owe. And when we understand that no price will be too big to pay, no journey will be too far to take, no sacrifice will be too hard to assume. No burden will be too great to bear. Because we know his worth. And we know the debt that we owe. Leave her alone. A waste? No. 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 A scandal? No. Extravagance? No. Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's stand and let us lift our hands. My Jesus, I love thee.